from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So backyard baseball's back.
Backyard baseball is coming back.
I think
all the backyard sports are coming back.
I don't think I've ever played the backyard baseball game.
Oh, so good.
Yeah?
You've never experienced the dominance of one Pablo Sanchez before?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Not even the backyard hockey also was a game? Never had that?
There was a game for Nintendo way back when. Schoolyard baseball. Some baseball game where you could hit home runs and they would break windows in the school in the outfield. And there were different... You probably don't remember Mutant League Football either, by the way.
I don't remember Mutant League Football. Oh, definitely not that.
Let me tell you about Mutant League Football.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
What was the name of this Nintendo baseball game you could play? It wasn't Baseball All-Stars, which was also an amazing game.
Yeah.
Tecmo Baseball. I played a lot of Tecmo Baseball. Was it Bad News Baseball? No. So I don't think I've played the backyard baseball games. Bases loaded. Oh, man. Let me tell you, Joe. Again, let Grandpa tell you a story.
Back in the black and white video game days.
Base Wars. I'm at a link now of all the best Nintendo games. RBI Baseball, Base Wars, Bases Loaded.
Uh-huh.
Bases Loaded was the one where there was a hidden thing in the game. Now, when Grandpa was young, if there was a trick in a video game, you heard of it word of mouth. There was not the internet to just, how do I make the thing do the thing?
Didn't they have magazines with like...
Yes.
You could buy books at the
book
fair.
Cheat codes or whatnot in
yes.
it, and also all... Yeah.
Yes, yes, to all of these things, yes. And in Bases Loaded, there was a way to get them to charge the mound and have a fight.
Really?
Yeah.
But like you needed to know.
I think it was certain teams and a certain situation, and you could get the computer. You get them to charge the mound and fight.
Yeah.
Would that also be considered an Easter egg?
I think that's probably what
more so than a cheat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there were Easter eggs. Charging the mound.
You could charge
loaded.
The mound though.
I
imagine that happening for the first time when you like don't know it exists in the game and just they charge the mound. That would be awesome.
And then you spend the rest of the day figuring out what did I do. To make them do that. Like,
that
how did that
happened to me in... Oh, was it an NHL game when I was a kid? Or was it you know, like NHL Hits? Where you didn't know that the goalies could fight. And something happened where the goalie... Like, you've been playing a game for like 6 months. And suddenly the goalies are skating to center ice. Like, how did that just happen? How do I recreate that? And then I don't think it ever happened after that. I don't remember what game that was, though. It might have been NHL Hits. No, it could have been NHL Hits, because the goalies fighting NHL Hits wouldn't have been a surprise at all.
Right.
So it might have been the NHL game.
What was
the
name?
Yeah, so Backyard Baseball's coming back.
This game I'm talking about, this baseball game for Nintendo, was kind of like, again, it wasn't Backyard Baseball, I don't think. It was something. Chris in Hamburg, he knows the baseball game. Chris, what was it?
It was Dusty Diamond's All-Star Softball that had a baseball mode in it.
Yes. Thank you. Dusty Diamond's Dusty Diamond's All-Star Softball. All right, I'm going to pull up the video of this and make sure this is what I'm thinking of. Yes, 100%. This is it. You're playing schoolyard softball. Let me show the lyrics and or the lyrics, the graphics. I'll show the graphics and Joe's eyes will fall out of his head.
Yeah, that would be tough.
What is that, Pong? Dusty Diamond. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Baseball games.
Do you remember Hot Shots Golf? Did you ever play that?
I think so.
That was another one where, like, that's kind of in the same realm a little bit as these. That was the golf game to play when I was a kid. Yeah, Hot Shots Golf.
Yeah, here we go. I want to find somebody hitting the ball to the... Yeah. Ready? Joe's live reaction to real game footage of Dusty Diamond softball.
Oh, I mean, come on now. Come on.
Yeah.
What year is this from? 75?
It's probably like 90, 91.
Man, the progress we have made in video games
in this game,
in 20 years.
The nerds are playing the dweebs. Those are the two team names in this game.
The nerds and the dweebs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Joe, I'm not exaggerating when I say, like, you would play these baseball games in hopes of seeing... I'm telling you, I did this for times in my childhood. I would just hope to hit the ball far enough to, like, see what the outfield looked like. Oh, look at the fence. Oh, there's water. Oh, there... I remember playing one of the baseball games and wanting to hit home runs so you could see the fountains in Kansas City. Because you could not just... Like you can now, instant replay and move around the stadium and look at everything. Now, the only way you were ever going to see beyond the center field wall is if you hit a ball there.
Yeah.
All right, so Backyard Baseball is back.
But Backyard Baseball is back, but did you know, Josh, like what it's back on? Like, is it going to be on like PlayStation 5, I assume? Or is it going to be a PC game again? Because... How do we think that's going to work? A game from like the late 90s, like trying to reestablish himself. Like, are they going to be like insane graphics, I mean, like the sports games now?
I read something that there might be like TV and movie stuff they're going to try to do with like the characters and things like that.
So oh, okay.
They're trying to expand outside of just the video game world.
We'll get Aaron on a cell phone and then back on track maybe a little bit. Hey, Aaron, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I listen to you about weird things you can get with video games to quickly just...
Oh, are you there?
Do we lose them?
More than I had.
Yeah.
Where you could play Bird versus Magic Johnson.
Yeah, Magic versus Bird. He's breaking up. I remember that game. Magic versus Bird.
Yep, and Magic could break the backboard if you hit it just right. But it wouldn't happen all the time.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things that you always tried to do.
Yeah. Thanks, thanks, Aaron. Yeah. Seriously, video game life used to be you found out about a code in a magazine or somebody told you, or you called a hotline and you were on hold for 30 minutes asking how to beat a boss. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You were waiting.
You would call the number in Nintendo hold? Power Magazine and you'd be on hold for how do I get past this board? Yeah.
Yo, the 90s were wild.
And what if they like didn't know how to help you?
Well,
like,
if they worked for Nintendo Power, I mean, I had Nintendo, so.
When is this Magic vs. Bird game? Is this around the same time as NBA Jam was a thing?
It's probably before NBA Jam.
Before NBA Jam?
Magic vs. Bird was a video game from when?
I've got it 1989.
Okay. Sega?
NES, is that Sega?
Yeah. No, yeah. NES is Nintendo, yeah.
Nintendo, yep.
Make sure you watch some of the video.
Jordan versus... there was another one. Jordan versus Bird, one-on-one.
Yeah.
It was another game.
Nelson in Williamsville. Hey, Nelson, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Is it okay to return to the Bill?
Absolutely.
That's why we went to you.
Well, at the risk of beating a dead horse, I'm calling about the injuries. But I think I have a little different perspective on the injuries. I've been staring at the training camp roster, which to me are the 91 legitimate guys you brought to camp. And it's so extraordinary. I mean, everybody knows we've had a lot of injuries. But we brought 91 men to camp less than a month ago. 14 of the 91 are not able to play tomorrow. That's a 15% rate. I don't know what the probability is, but it's 15 has got to be way over the top. And I'd have to get some math professor to do a linear regression on that to see what that number really is. But 15%, I think all would agree, is extraordinary. And where I know it's hit us the hardest, just based on the absolute numbers, in the safety position. I don't even know who's going to start at safety Saturday afternoon. But I do know that the wide receiver room has really been blown up. Of the 14 injuries, 5 of them are in the wide receiver room. We brought 13 wide receivers to camp, and 5 of those wideouts are now injured. So we have 8 left at the end of camp. We have 8 left, and of those 8, only 2 are new faces, namely Mac Collins and Keon Coleman. The other 6 were all here last year. If not on the active roster, they came from the practice squad. So it's quite obvious, if you look at this analysis my way, there's no way the Bills can be better this year on offense with the thin receiving core that we have. I know we're going to go to a lot of 12 personnel, and I hope we do, because I'd keep at least 4 tight ends, given the dearth of wide receivers. But I just thought this was a different perspective. If you look at it's just extraordinary. 15% of your roster in less than a month is gone.
Yeah, thanks, Nelson. On there's no way they can be better. I think it will be difficult to be better on offense. I wouldn't say there's no way. I mean,
what were they last year?
The two most important things on being a good offense are a quarterback and a play caller to me.
Yep.
Receiver's like right there, and you need a line, and but play caller covers a lot of things, you know, the identity of what you do, how your design is, like Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Mike McDaniels, yeah. Matt LaFleur, like there's a tree here that has an awful lot of success. It's the anti-Belichick tree. The Belichick tree is Belichick and everybody else kind of stinks. The Shanahan-McVay tree is they're all good.
They're all good. Yep.
So if Brady is good, I think they'll be fine. That doesn't mean they can't be better.
Isn't that I wasn't saying that way. If he's good, you would think they would be better.
Well, this is
in that regard, because you're not getting half a year of Dorsey and then half a year with a coordinator that maybe can't even run the offense he wants because he has to come in midway through.
We say this about the Bills all the time. Couldn't they be a worse team but have the same record? Or couldn't they be a better team and have the same record? I bet they could be a better offense or have a better play caller and be worse on offense. I don't think they necessarily have the talent on offense that they did last year or 2 years ago. They have a better middle to their receiving core than they've had in quite some time. The middle is probably better, right? It used to be Diggs at the top, and then who's your second best? Gabe Davis. Right now, you've got 3 maybe Gabe Davis caliber middle guys. Last year, their third option at receiver was Trent Sherfield.
Right.
And that's not the case this year. They have middle guys. It's a group that lacks the true top-end guy, and if somebody steps into that role, then that's great. But there's no denying, I don't think that right now they lack the top-end guy. If they had that, I think we'd all be over the moon.
But what that does then is it bumps everybody up, and now your middle is your top.
Right. There's a million analogies and a million different ways to say it. It's
like a hockey lineup where
your second
lost
line is your top line, and that's not good enough. You need a top line.
Right. Your second line is now playing as your top line, but that also means, like, sure, they might have middle guys that are better than Sherfield, but I feel like Sherfield was a third liner last year, and now Mac Collins is a second liner.
Exactly. I think that's a good way to say it.
Am I actually getting better results? The player might be a little better, but he's playing in a more important role. Sherfield was never really playing on offense unless there was an injury, at least an expanded role. Hollins, he's done more in the league than Sherfield, but it's not like a crazy difference, and he's a starter right now. Like, he's playing a lot, I think, at least especially with Samuel being injured.
This is where Joe Brady coming into it is the key piece here, because yesterday, Nate's filling in for me the next couple days when I'm off. Nate posted on Twitter yesterday highlights of the Bills' perfect game against New England.
Yeah.
And he said, would love to see this Dawson Knox again. Knox catches 2 touchdowns in that game.
I think he had 8 that year also. Okay.
Love to see this Dawson Knox again. And
yeah, you had 2
this,
in that game.
I'm going to walk carefully here. What would be the best way to get that Dawson Knox back?
Well, him being on the field.
And how is the best way to do that?
12 personnel.
My answer would be to not have Kincaid.
Oh, I see what you mean.
If
okay,
you want
sure.
that Dawson Knox back, yeah. go back in time and don't take Kincaid.
Right.
Well, you took Kincaid and you chopped out the legs of your tight end.
Right.
You put somebody in above him, which, listen, yeah. if Joe Brady does that and executes that well, that's great. That's not a problem. Since drafting Kincaid, I don't really think they have effectively done that. I definitely don't hate the player. You know, there's a line to walk about, love the player, don't like the pick. That's where I was at the time. Yeah. Here we are a full year later. We'll see how it continues to evolve. I don't think Dawson Knox is on this team past next year. He has to be on next year because they reconstructed his contract and he's another big cap hit. So we got 2 years of Kincaid and Knox as your 1-2 tight ends. And then we'll see what direction they go from there. What are the odds Joe Brady's their offensive play caller in 2 years?
Less than 50-50.
Probably. If he's good, he's gone. If he's not good,
he's fired by then.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So the Kincaid thing changed the course of their offensive history, and the belief that the Bills had was this is necessary. Okay, let's see it now, how it's built out. I will never expect to see the Dawson Knox I got from the perfect game because that's now Kincaid. That's his job.
Yeah, that year... And then that playoff game, he obviously added to it. That regular season, he had 71 targets, 49 catches, 587 yards, and 9 touchdowns. He'll never match any of those.
No,
again,
because right? Kincaid's on the team.
Not a single one of those he'll ever match with the Bills.
You had a tight end.
At least it'd be stunning to me if he did.
You had a tight end with 9 touchdowns.
Yep.
And
600 yards, 70 targets.
Yeah, the Bills were a very prolific offense, not really using tight end that much. And they decided to go... lean into the tight end route, which, again, I don't think that has to be wrong. It's just we'll see how that evolution continues and if Joe Brady has more success with it than Ken Dorsey did. But I don't think that Knox is ever coming back because he's not going to get the opportunity to.
Yeah. They were last year, by the way, if you want total offense, they were 4th. If you want yards per play, they were 7th. Are they going to be that good this year? It's kind of like you said earlier, like I would take 6th. You almost kind of get to your results... might be more impressive this year because of how hard the schedule is. Yesterday was the ESPN Fantasy Football Marathon, and they kept putting up each team. Like, okay, what's the strength of schedule for fantasy players in the fantasy regular season and then in the fantasy playoffs?
I saw this, and the Bills was hard.
The Bills was
throughout.
Very hard and then very hard for both. Just they have a tough schedule. Them being 7th this year in yards per play might be more impressive than it was last year.
Yeah.
But it's not also one of the elite offenses of the league, I don't think. You're not...
Not on paper, not yet. I mean, they have a lot to prove.
Them finishing top 3 right now would just be... Wouldn't it feel...
It would be stunning. It would be stunning. I know they have...
You don't really leave a lot of wiggle room then, though, right? Like, if you don't really think they could be like a top 3 or top 5 offense, and they can't really finish much further back than 10th, like, that almost makes it sound like we kind of know what they're going to be. Offensively, right?
Yeah, that's. I just keep going back to it. What's the goal this year? Joe Brady, please be a witch. Be one of those.
Well, if he's a witch, can they be a top five, top three offense?
That's the game here to me. If he is a witch, if he is the caliber of one of those guys that we constantly praise about how they run their offenses, then they'll be great because you've got Josh Allen and enough pieces. But if he's not one of those guys, well, then I probably think I come in around like 10th in that neighborhood. John in Lockport. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. I had a question about the performance-laid contracts.
Yeah.
Does that count against the cap in the beginning of the year or at the end if you do a performance-laden contract for an individual player?
Thanks, John. The best I don't exactly know how all incentives work. But one thing I know that they can do is you can put a not likely to be earned incentive into a contract. And the language of that, if I have that right, is if the player did not achieve that in the year prior. Okay, here you go. If a player has a $500,000 incentive for 1,000 rushing yards, and he had 1,000 rushing yards the previous season, that is a likely to be earned incentive. If he didn't, it's a not likely to be earned incentive. And if you hit that, I think that goes on your next year's cap. Okay? So let's say the Bills give Mac Hollins a deal that includes incentives. What were Mac Hollins' stats last year?
Last year?
He had 18 catches.
Okay.
So if you put a clause in his contract, hey, if you get 20 catches, you get $1 million. That is a not likely to be earned incentive because he had 18 catches last year, and it's more.
Right.
As I understand it, that's how those work. There's probably more to it than that. But incentives, it depends on the type of incentive. Some are LTBEs, likely to be earned, and some are not likely to be earned. And the not likely to be earned can be a bit of a loophole. If you get a guy that did nothing the previous year.
Vaughn. I think this happened with his contract. So they changed his contract and they added in that incentive structure where he has to top zero or something like that.
Right. That's one way to save money.
Yeah.
Hey, if you get a sack this year, it's worth $2 million. Because you didn't last year.
Right.
Or this number of tackles. Or starts. I think you could do it with starts. I mean, he missed four games. So, hope I have that right. The NFL cap is, that's why they have capologists. Mike Gennetti, text me if I got that wrong. I hope that's part of the answer to your question, John.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Mike in Lakewood. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Guys, I just want to mention, Mutant League Football, to me, was one of my favorite, most hilarious video games.
Yeah.
Because not only could you, kill all the best players on your buddy's team, but you could, shove them off the field into outer space, and there were landmines.
Yeah.
It was a hilarious game.
What game is this?
Mutant League Football. They're
this is Mutant League.
There were vats of acid on the field. You could tackle a guy. Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy.
There was also a Mutant League Hockey, which was awesome.
Yep.
Okay. But also, there was a John Elway Football on the menu for plays at the top, there was a bar that you hit to reverse the plays, and you got like 10 seconds to pick your play. If you left the highlight on the reverse play when the time ran out, your quarterback was unstoppable.
Nice. These cheats are great. Remembering the cheats from way back when. How about somebody tweeted in, thanks, Mike, for that. And I remember John Elway football. I remember John Elway football. I remember Joe Montana football.
Okay.
NES play action football. I remember that game.
Okay. Who else? Every play action?
No. NES play action football. I'm pretty sure NES play action football was college. Okay. And oddly enough, if you can picture this, you know how when you play football, you go left to right?
Yep.
In Tecmo Bowl, or you go up and down in Madden?
Mm-hmm.
NES play action football was a diagonal field. You went like...
What?
Yeah, you went upright, like diagonally upright.
Why?
Just the way it was? The way the game worked. Yep.
I feel like someone made a mistake when they were developing the game. Like, I'll just leave it.
No.
They'll figure it out.
It worked that way.
Diagonal?
Yeah.
Imagine if Madden came out next year. They decided, hey, we're going to start playing the game diagonal.
Now I'm going back to like the blue, there's a college basketball game where all the colleges were in it, and it was like revolutionary in how when you got the ball, it would turn, and you're walking up the court 3D,
uh-huh.
And I feel like the entire surrounding area wasn't even a stadium or an arena. It was like just a blue screen as it whipped around back and forth. I don't know.
Mutant League football, by the way, there were players in it, but they had different names.
Yeah.
So Bo Jackson was Bones Jackson.
Come on, who doesn't want to play that game?
And Lawrence Taylor was LT Impaler.
Yeah.
Joe Montana was Joe Magician. Jerry Rice, Scary Ice.
And you threw them off of the surface of the planet into space.
Yeah. Wow.
Good times. The best part, I mean, like all, remembering all this, had somebody write in, Jeff tweeted in, the guy's name was Oko on Philadelphia with bases loaded. If you hit that guy, he charged the mound.
Okay.
Jeff remembers.
It was one specific
one
player.
Guy. Now, that's how awesome. How did an entire country of youth find that out?
That somebody thing, must have like looked into it.
We spread the word like Paul Revere, the British are coming. Like, you know, you tell a friend, they went on vacation, they told a friend, that thing made it coast to coast.
You had carrier pigeons bringing them around the country.
Kids knew, if you peg Oko on Philly, he's going to charge the mound.
Wow.
Love it.
There's apparently a new Mutant League football game you can buy right now for an Xbox.
Is that right? I want like Mortal Kombat levels of gore. Is that possible?
It looks like Mutant League football. Looks like you've got it. This looks pretty wild.
Mortal Kombat. All right, yeah, early access. It's coming out. Mutant League Football 2. Another one's coming out.
Wait, a sequel?
Yeah,
a second
right,
one?
Soon, this year. I think we're getting another one.
Wow.
What's old is new. 803-0550. If you're on hold, stick with us. We get time to take more calls, of course. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
I love where Keon's at as a football player right now. Obviously, understanding where expectations are and everything. I understand where he got drafted and whatnot. I'm not always just focused on how the production is in a preseason game as opposed to seeing it on every day in practice. You know, there's certain things that we've asked other receivers to do. It's everybody in a little different role in terms of the run game. Remember Keon coming out, he's one of the best blockers in the draft. Not saying you're drafting a guy to block, but having guys that can do a little bit of everything, you know, where they can make plays as a receiver, they can block, it makes it a little harder on defense. There's no way, hey, where guys are and what they're going to do when they're in those positions.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady on Keon Coleman's development. Hey, by the way, if you're a Bills season ticket holder, you do get the NFL Plus subscription at a discounted rate. And this year, it offers more than ever before. Because I did the NFL Plus Premium, which is, I think it's with the discount, it's $60. Mm-hmm. And that includes NFL Pro. Maybe you've seen people talking about NFL Pro, what this is. Okay, how is it usable? What can I do with this? Well, earlier this morning we talked about Jahan Dotson, a receiver for the Washington Commanders who's slipping down the depth chart, a first-round pick of 2022?
Yep, 16th overall.
Okay, 16th overall, 2022, and he's Penn State product. He could play a little inside, outside. You know, if he falls out of favor, could he be available in a trade? The Bills could afford him if you wanted to help get another Washington receiver. You got Curtis Samuel from there. So what can NFL Pro do? I decided to fire up NFL Pro, type in Jahan Dotson, pull up all of his highlights.
Mm-hmm.
And then the filters.
Yeah.
I selected every pass caught.
Yeah.
Outside alignment.
Yep.
I don't want to see him in the slot.
Can he just see his plays in
the outside. I don't know if he can play on the outside. Can he give the Bills more than just inside slot? So I have every single pass completed to him, outside alignment. Click that, boom, there are all the highlights.
Yep.
You can watch them in broadcast. You can watch all 22. You can watch just sideline. You can watch just end zone. You can go to the sliders you can put on this are nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So really cool, really useful tool. NFL Pro. And again, if you're a season ticket holder and you maybe misplaced that email, you get it for 40% off. It's a $100 thing, and you get it for $60. It also includes, I think that's NFL Game Pass, right? Includes that, where you're watching an All-22 or watching condensed games, replays. And it includes NFL Red Zone.
Yeah.
You get the Red Zone channel with this. All that for $60 if you're a season ticket holder.
It's about as good a deal in the NFL
as you
get. Because yesterday, people were flipping out about the new Sunday ticket price.
Speaking of the Sunday tickets. So, by the way, if you don't have that email, if you call the Bills, like call your ticket rep, they'll give you the promo code. You get $40 off. It's $60. So there you go. I've got that. Sunday ticket. It's only crazy, crazy out of this world expensive if you don't have YouTube TV. We do.
Right.
Where
it's about half the price.
It's $370 for the year.
And I think elsewhere it's like $700.
Yeah.
Or just under.
I have been convinced I pulled the trigger on the quad box. So
yeah.
The multi-view had been there before, where you can watch a couple games at once. The slight difference here is now, I think it was only three at once before, and now it's four at once.
Yep.
And you add them individually where you want them in the quad box screen.
Yep, you control
it. So this football season, listen, when the Bills are in primetime, this is more valuable to me. When the Bills play Sunday 1 o'clock, I'm going to miss a lot of the big, heavy 1 o'clock windows. When they play 4 o'clocks and prime times and all that, Sunday 1 o'clock, I want to watch, every game I can. And I can pop on YouTube TV, go with the quad box. So I am back with Sunday ticket. Why not?
I don't know if I'm debating it because I usually just go Bills game in red zone.
See, it's funny.
It's usually all I need.
I might, for the demographic of guys that watch a lot of football, I might watch the least red zone of anybody.
Really?
I don't watch the red zone channel. I just put on a game. And I know I've seen it before and I don't dislike it.
Yeah.
I just don't think to go to it, and I don't feel like I miss that much. I'd rather watch game to game.
Yeah. I feel like I am missing everything if it's not on somewhere for me. Like
red zone?
Because I'm seeing every I want to make sure I see every big play that I need to see. And Twitter is at a point where you usually will see it anyway, right? If it's that big of a play. But I need the constant fix. I need to have something happening in front of me at all times. I can't sit through the stoppages. Maybe that's why I don't mind replay as much, because red zone, they just skip it.
Right. You don't hear Gene Steratore on red zone?
You don't see the refs as often.
Maybe on red zone. You might sell me on it. Jim in Lakeview. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Yeah, hi, guys. I'm not buying into this general notion that regardless of what happens on defense, Sean McDermott can coach them up. And they're usually, like he's some kind of genius, And they often point to the fact that, he's got a top five defense last year, but I think we can all agree that a defense's performance is really based on the quality of the quarterback they face. And I look at the quarterbacks the Bills defense faced last year: Zach Wilson twice, Mac Jones twice, Easton Stick, Tyrod Taylor, Sam Howell, Jimmy Garoppolo, Russell Wilson. This is a murderer's row of terrible quarterback play.
That's true.
And and he lost, by the way, to Zach Wilson and Mac Jones, and needed a last-minute field goal to beat Easton Stick. And, when push comes to shove, when he gets in the playoffs against a quality quarterback, he can't get a stop. So, I'm not buying into this, that this guy is some kind of defensive genius. He's great against terrible quarterbacks, but, when it's Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, he can't get a stop. And his defense, I think we can all agree, has just been horrid in the postseason.
And it's the postseason when you face the better offenses and the better quarterbacks. Yeah, he did great beating up on lineup of quarterbacks I just mentioned, but he's got a lot to prove as a defensive coordinator, and I just don't think it's a given that he's just going to coach up any defense and make them a quality defense.
Thanks, Jim. I don't think anything you said is all that unfair. Last year was not murderer's row. Last year was also not their best defensive season.
Was their best performance last year against a top quarterback?
Is it Mahomes in Kansas City? That was... they did okay.
The regular season Kansas City game.
They did okay.
Prescott.
Dak Prescott.
Didn't do
they did a great job
against them.
Yeah.
I might be done, but
yeah,
that's two.
And the playoff point is without a doubt. Like, they've not had a signature defensive performance outside of stopping Lamar. And as we pointed out, a lot of guys have stopped Lamar in the in the playoffs, especially.
He stops Tua. He does do that.
You know, one thing I would say here, though, Zach Wilson and the Jets. Who else did Zach Wilson and the Jets, or whoever's playing quarterback for the Jets, beat? They beat Houston 30-6. They beat Washington. They beat the Eagles. The Jets beat the Eagles. The Jets beat the Bills, Eagles, and Texans.
That's pretty wild.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty crazy.
So I think sometimes, again, Jim, like, without even really disagreeing that much, you'd be surprised how many defensive coaches and have their hiccups against bad defenses. Last year, the Chiefs, Steve Spagnuolo is a great defensive coordinator, had the best defense in football, right? Their offense was not there to bail them out this year. They did not have a great offense. And the Chiefs had one of their worst years that they've had with Patrick Mahomes. Definitely in the regular season, they were not the one seed or the two seed. Last year, the Chiefs lost to the Raiders. Granted, it was on pick sixes, so that might be the defense's fault.
Right.
The Chiefs lost to the Raiders. They lost to the Packers. Right? Face a good quarterback. What happened? They lost. They lost. Who else did they lose to? The Chiefs last year. I'm rolling.
Denver, right?
Denver.
Denver beat a couple of good teams.
Yeah.
Beat the Bills. So there's another one. You know,
the Chiefs lost to the Lions 21-20.
I guess. I don't know how much I want to make this an indictment.
The Chiefs lost to the Eagles 21-17.
Yeah.
So. No matter how great your defensive coordinator is, let's look at the Chiefs. The Chiefs lost to the Bills when Steve Spagnuolo played a great quarterback in the regular season. He lost. Now in the playoffs, how do they do? They generally do better. To me, like I said, I don't think anything you said there is really all that unfair. I do think the body of work for McDermott is he's a good defensive coach, and there's a lot of evidence to point that out. But he does have to. The next step for him is he has to have another signature performance in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Until they have that, I think calls like Jim are fair.
Is his signature game shutting down a top quarterback, that Lamar playoff game? Like, would you consider that his signature, man, like that day McDermott just, that quarterback couldn't do anything against him?
Well, I'd like you to do this. And Jim, if you're listening, write down these names. Who are the other quarterbacks he's beaten in the playoffs?
Other than Lamar.
The wins the Bills have in the playoffs.
Phillip Rivers in his last game of his career.
Yep.
Mac Jones. Skylar Thompson. Mason Rudolph. And am I missing one? Or is that the list?
You're missing one. I think you're missing one.
Who am I missing?
Lamar,
Rivers, Mason Rudolph, Skylar Thompson.
Is that it? Okay, that might be it.
Is that five playoff wins?
Did they have five playoff wins?
Mac Jones.
You said Mac Jones. Six. They have six playoff wins?
I do feel like I'm missing somebody, but okay, that's mostly the list.
If you're making this point, make that part of it too. Like, their playoff wins, some people make this as a Josh Allen QB wins stat, but you don't have to do that necessarily. But their wins are those as that group, and their losses in the playoffs are Burrow, Mahomes. Deshaun Watson, early. That's it.
Deshaun Watson, who was elite that day.
Yes, he was. In the second half.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking... you look at Mahomes' career by, passer rating, and the Bills are just, it's kind of mixed. You know, there's a couple games where they're near the worst, and there's a couple games where they're near the best at defending him. And you look at, the Bills list of this... And I don't know, like, they shut down Prescott, man. His numbers were horrible last year. Tua's numbers are horrible a couple times. Mahomes in the regular season last year was tough. But there is the flip side. Burrow has had great success against them.
I mean, Burrow last year was
in two games.
What were his numbers last year? It wasn't exactly a high-scoring game.
No.
It was a very forgettable game last
24
year.
24-18 was that game. Burrow against the Bills last year, 31 of 44, 348 yards and two touchdowns. No picks. One sack. That's pretty good.
What are Allen's numbers that day?
26 of 38, 258 yards, a touchdown, a pick, and 44 yards rushing with a rushing touchdown. I mean, 300 yards total offense, two touchdowns and a pick. Right. Nobody else did anything. James Cook had 20 yards.
But if you're just doing points on the board, that's 18. Lou Anarumo holding the Bills to 18.
Yep. Well, yeah, what's yards per play in that game? Yards per play is the same, 5.8, 5.9.
Wouldn't every NFL coach sign up for holding the Bills to 18 points? Every single one.
Sure. This year?
Yeah. Any year. Any year.
Any game Josh Allen's the quarterback, I feel yes. Yeah,
is 18
that should be the answer.
Is 18
you
enough
should be
for
able
you?
To, you should think
if
you
If I hold
that
them
game.
To 18, is that good enough for you? Every coach would say yes.
Yeah.
Burrow, 24. Would you say every coach would say yes? No.
No.
I mean, it's...
No. 24. How did he get to 350 yards and only score 24 points? That was... Okay, a lot of fourth downs. They would make it to midfield and then long field goal, turnover on downs. Okay, so that makes a little bit more sense on that front. I don't know how much I want to go too far with that point about McDermott can only beat the bad quarterbacks. Sure, Lou Anarumo probably deserves more credit on that front than he does, but does he deserve blame? Like, playoff wise, sure. Like, I'll say that about him and Mahomes. Mahomes has his best games against the Bills in the playoffs every time, and there have been a couple, and Lou Anarumo is two of them, and last year Baltimore is another where you can slow him down, and the Bills haven't even slowed him down. You're not going to shut him down, but they haven't even slowed him down like a couple of teams have figured out how to do.
Extendo Sports coming up, and we have a juicy, juicy potential. I don't know if somebody gets fired for this in Atlanta.
Is this going to... Oh, this is not going to be like big things happen while you're away?
No.
In Atlanta, someone gets
there's
fired.
There's legit controversy about Kirk Cousins' birthday playlist that the Atlanta Falcons tweeted out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
That's next. Maybe you saw Kirk Cousins, maybe you didn't. The Atlanta Falcons tweeted out, on Kirk's birthday, he gets the aux cord.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cousins' birthday practice playlist featuring Jimmy Eat World, All American Rejects, Green Day, Fountains of Wayne, Blink-182, Good Charlotte, The Killers, Foo Fighters, Fall Out Boy.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the NFL world went with it. Like, hey, look, Kirk Cousins, happy birthday, Kirk. It's your playlist. Kirk Cousins reached out to Kyle Brandt, sent him a voice memo to say he did not make the playlist. A Falcons assistant made the playlist based off guessing what songs Cousins would like to hear. I don't know if you could fire that person.
I feel like...
Kirk Cousins is a nice guy.
You could.
In theory. Someone just tweets out, oh yeah, here's his playlist from his birthday. And everyone just thinks those are your favorite songs.
Right.
And then he
wanted everyone to know.
He wanted people to know.
Or at least Kyle Brandt.
I didn't make that. I didn't make that list.
Doesn't he hate the Falcons already for drafting a quarterback when he left Minnesota because they might draft a quarterback? And now they're making playlists for him?
Yeah. All right. I'm off for a couple days. Back next week.
What's going to happen while you're
Nate's in. Trade for Jahan Dotson.
Jamar Chase.
Brandon Ayuk.
He wants out.
How about a safety? No, they're getting healthy.
Micah Hyde?
Yeah, maybe.
That would be big things.
That's it for us. Cheers.
For
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.